The advice that, I mean, you know, it resonates with me. I mean, I got this advice when I was a residency, which was, you know, we were sitting around and it was a group of ladies kind of in their, you know, early 30s in medicine, which can be a very challenging career in terms of time and everything else. And people were talking about, like, when was the right time to have a kid? Med school is not the right time and residency is not the right time. And right when you're establishing a career, that's not the right time. And one of my sort of mentors, a professor who was, you know, she was one of our teachers and she was in her, I guess, late 40s, Nick Rhodes. She just stops the conversation. She's, ladies, there's never a good time. There's no such thing as a good time. You just do it. And I was like, that is true about so many things in life. If you're waiting for the right time for something, it's not, that's not how life is. You know, the only way to do it is to pull the trigger and go.
Welcome, fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters, to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge. And I'm so excited today. I have two sisters here. They're co-founders of a business called Restore. Just been chatting with them. I love them already. They're so fun. Excited to have them on the episode. And so we have Dr. Flora Waples, and she was a previous MD from Cornell. She has 15 years experience in emergency medicine and a trauma background. And she's the CMO, which is the chief medical officer and director, and obviously co-founder of the business with her sister, right? And Dominique is here as well. And she has a completely different background. Hey, Dominique. She's a former assistant district attorney turned co-founder and CEO. And really pumped to have them here. They are phenomenal businesswomen. They have huge hearts. They're mission-led. And Restore is a medical spa that they founded in 2011. It's got three locations and they just signed the lease for the fourth. So they're growing, they're scaling. They're in the top 1% of individually owned medical spas in the nation. So these are powerhouse women and just so easy to talk to. I just met them right now, to be honest. And already I'm like, I love them. They're super cool. And so we're going to be talking today about how to start and grow a mission-led business with no previous entrepreneurial experience ahead of time and build confidence through that reinvention and really through aesthetics and functional medicine. And so just excited, ladies. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to talk to you. And so I want to start, I know that you started your business quite some time ago, yet we have a lot of entrepreneurs listening. So if we can, I would like to take it back to the beginning. And I would love to know, because you both come from different backgrounds and they weren't entrepreneurial in a sense. And so what was the moment that each of you realized for yourself that it was time to reinvent yourself and step away from your established careers into something new? Do you remember? I know it was back in 2011.
I mean, I remember exactly. I was an emergency room doctor. I was working in the emergency room. And, you know, and I loved it. It was a wonderful career, super exciting medicine. Absolutely loved it. But the thing that I came to realize is I was limited by myself, right? When, you know, I was a highly paid burger flipper. You know, the hours I was at work, I got paid for. And when I was not at work, I wasn't getting paid for it. If I broke my right hand, I'm done. So I was limited. And also the number of people that I could reach was limited. As a doc, if I'm limited to the people that I can sit down and talk with in any given day, I can only touch 8, 10, 12 people a day, you know? And I wanted to be able to have a reach that was more than that. And you can only do that if you have a team. And so it became really clear to me that while I loved what I did and I loved the impact that medicine can have on people, that I was limiting myself by the place in which I was practicing. I was like, okay, do something else. So that was really it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I love that. You know, I think that's that right there was a shift in an entrepreneurial mindset, because entrepreneurs don't like to trade time for money and realize you don't have leverage when you do that. And then usually an entrepreneurial mindset really wants to make an impact and as big of one as possible. Right. So I love that you talked about that you wanted to change your reach and impact more people, because you already had such an honorable profession. It just in a limiting way for you to be able to do more. So that's so cool. That's awesome. Dominique, what about you?
Yeah, I think impact is really, I mean, that's, you hit on it right there, right? I can say, I'll just share my one part of my story here. When I was in college, I spent a fair amount of time volunteering at a battered women's shelter because I thought that I was really going to get to help people, specifically women, you know, and I really thought that I'd be able to there. And it was a little bit of a, I'll say, disillusioning experience. It was something I always wanted to kind of come back to. After college, I went to law school, and then I found myself as a prosecutor, eventually in the family violence unit, where I was prosecuting some of the people that may have been somewhat responsible for the battered women's shelter in the first place. And while I definitely feel that it was righteous work and I was making an impact, again, it was limited. And it was one person at a time. And sometimes I didn't even feel that the people that I thought I was helping, like they did not see it as help. And that was a challenge. On one level, moving into medical aesthetics seems like a company, you know, it's frivolous and it's vanity and it's all these things. And, you know, it's not, it has nothing to do. In fact, it's the opposite of female empowerment. But for me, that's not the case. One of the things that kind of attracted me to medical aesthetics, right? I mean, sometimes I tell this little story, you know, I got Botox for the first time, effectively together. And what happens is you get injected and nothing happens. And then 7 days later, all your wrinkles go away.
Hey,
that's like, it's like magic. And I was like, whoa, holy cow. This is going to make a huge difference to a lot of people. Let's go open a med spa. And it's kind of, it makes light of it. But at the same time, for me, what we do is really about letting women live the lives they want to live. Whatever that looks like for them. And if this one little thing, if their appearance or how they feel on a given day helps them live a different life, then yeah, I want to be a part of that. So that's a big piece of what Restore is to me.
I love it. You know, and you talked about, you just brought something up I wanted to actually ask you. So I'm just going to bring it up now at this point in the conversation.
Because
I love what you just shared, because I'm all about women empowerment too. And I think that when it's whatever you want for yourself, that's mm-hmm. empowering. And whether mm-hmm. it's to look better from the outside in, to be healthier from the inside out, right? Yet there's a lot of myths around this, right? And there is this space where it can be driven by vanity and not looked at as empowering. And so I'm just really curious, how do you guys stay anchored in, you know, redefining confidence when it comes to this space and what you do for your career? And just maybe what are some myths you want to bust up about this, some negative, unhealthy narratives around this? Because mm-hmm. I think that this is such a good topic.
I mean, I'll just speak for the medical side. You know, I think that especially some of the older techniques that we had, both in aesthetics and in the functional medicine, like longevity space, the techniques that we had were in some ways very unnatural. We can inject toxin, we can paralyze the brow, we can put a synthetic filler in the face, and we can lift the cheekbones up. And there's all these things that we can do. That is not my focus, and that's not where the field is going. What it really is about for me is it is about health and wellness. And the reason why we age is because parts of our body are running down and being damaged by life. And what I do through my work is to promote the health, when I'm promoting the health of someone's skin and like regenerating skin, whether we're regenerating, you know, bone or muscle, or whether it's coming all the way from the inside, we're doing hormone work. The goal is to create health. Beauty is the perception of health and vitality, right? Like when the eye perceives beauty, what's actually happening there is you're looking at a person and saying, this person looks healthy, they look happy, and they look filled with vitality. And as opposed to creating that appearance, what we're trying to do here at Restore is create that reality. And it is a wonderful, remarkable change for a person to feel beautiful and healthy and full of vitality. It does change people's lives. Because of course it does.
Yeah.
And they look But you also, so for me, the narrative for me is we're not chasing beauty. We're chasing health and vitality and happiness. And those things register as beauty, but that's not, you know, it's a slightly different focus for me.
I love it. Dominique, did you want to add anything?
No, mine was perfect. My answer was perfect.
It was a really good answer. And I resonate with that.
That's a great answer. You know what? I would even take it a step further, though, because if a woman comes in here and what she wants is fuller lips, you know what? That's up to her. And there is nobody, you know, who should be telling her. Now, she comes in and says, my husband wishes I had fuller.
Now, that's a different.
Wow. Now we have a whole, like that, you know, that just, oh my God, I want to give her a hug and all the things and probably not that fuller. But it really, truly, I think in society and in the world, like our grandmothers didn't know what it was like to make decisions for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in every way possible, when a woman can make decisions for herself, now I really get behind that. So for her health, for her appearance, just for self-care, whatever it is, I support it.
Yeah, I agree. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I love
it. Was that good too?
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was good too. Great answer also, high fives. You could tell though, you girls really believe what you're talking about. And I think that when you're a founder-led business, you have to believe in your mission. Like it's got to be at the core of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And, you know, how did you get clear on this mission in the first place?
You know, for me, it's taken some time. It really has. I kind of use the process of, you know, I try something out and I ask, does this feel right? Does it align with our values? You know, and, you know, when we started, we were purely aesthetics. We did only aesthetic. And I loved it. It's interesting. It's fun medicine. Obviously, I'm my own best customer, you know. Right. But we're all older than we look, at least I hope.
But,
you know, I loved it, but I always did feel there was a piece missing. You know, like my goal was never to put beautiful skin on a sick body. You know, the goal has always been to be able to do all of it. But, you know, and the medicine, as the medicine's progressed over the last 15 years and we've become capable of doing, instead of repair, actual regeneration, we're able to add on, you know, hormones and longevity medicine. So we really can make you feel as good as you look and look as good as you feel. Each step we take towards that goal feels better and better to me. And if it feels better to me, I know that it's aligning with my mission. That's my gut check. Does this step feel like it's coming, bringing us closer to that vision? And it's a process. It's taken a long time. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we'll ever be there. You know, you can always get closer to perfection.
Absolutely. Dominique, are you the same? Are you leaning into the mission? Does it keep growing and getting bigger, or did you know right away?
I think that this is always how we've been. Like, Flora and I have not changed. Maybe you could call it stubborn, you call it whatever, you know. We can articulate it better. Mm-hmm. And we're not just living it for ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, part of being able to articulate, even doing something like this day, like a podcast, like, what are we doing? We're sharing it with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started, I didn't understand how important that would be to me that we got to share it with other people. We're part of spreading that message. So that's definitely changed. But I don't think internally, I don't think it's going to change.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And I think that's, you know, I'm just thinking of entrepreneurship because I work with so many women who start businesses. And it's the mission. That's the spark usually. Yet we don't quite know how to share it or talk about it or put it into action. Yet there's this underlying knowingness. And the more we lean into it and do it and build our business, it becomes clearer. And we realize that, oh my gosh, I do have a gift, right? Where I can impact other people. And so I think I really love your lady's stories and how you got involved and why you got involved. And I'm curious because you started your business, you know, and we were fresh out of careers and you just said, let's start a business. And you opened a physical location. I mean, this takes some courage. And so I'm just curious, what did you go through in the first few years? Because I'm sure it wasn't you just had the idea and presto changeo, there it was, success.
Yeah.
Maybe talk a little bit about the fears.
I think that, you know, like courage and like complex stupidity are so close. You know, I mean, did we have any idea what we were getting ourselves into? No idea.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, the phrase that, like, everyone has those phrases that kind of live in their mind, you know, mm-hmm. and a phrase that has lived in my mind is, you know, you can't learn to drive a car and park. Like at some point, you got to take the parking brake off and you got to put it in drive and you just have to go. And, you know, that is the only way to do it is to do it. And, you know, it was a tough.
I'll tell you, you know what I think? When we opened Restore, I was 8 months pregnant. And then 1 year after that,
she was
8 months pregnant. And then 1 year after that, I was again, you know, pregnant. And then 1 year after that, she was pregnant.
Yeah.
So maybe we weren't quite thinking.
But probably blood flow is
to be. And
And that was the pregnancy hormones.
We had
the best picture. The favorite pictures I have in our like restore archive is when we were opening up our first location. Yeah, she was 8 months. She was 8 months pregnant. She was huge, you know. And we have pictures of her. She's up
on a ladder
with her tummy out here.
I was like hanging
up. Like, hey, you know, and then pictures of her like holding boxes and she's carrying boxes like they're against her belly. What were we thinking? What in the world were we thinking?
I think that part of the entrepreneurial mind is that you don't really think about consequences necessarily. You only think about your goal. And if the only thing you're thinking about is your goal, nothing else, the fact that you're pregnant and that I'm going to be pregnant and that we don't know what we're doing and we have no staff. You know, those are all secondary. Yeah.
Gosh, I love it. Hey, everyone. I just wanted to hop on quick and say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this episode and to my podcast. I really appreciate it. And I just wanted to ask if you're enjoying my podcast, if you can do me a favor and if you can like this episode and like the episodes that you listen to, leave a comment. If you can leave a review for my podcast, I would be forever grateful. And download the podcast. Head over to my YouTube Entrepreneurial Elevation and subscribe. I would be so grateful. And that would be awesome as I'm looking to grow my audience and get in front of as many people as possible so that everybody can hear and listen to and learn from and take away so much goodness from all the phenomenal guests that I have on. And I would just be forever grateful once again if you were willing to do that. So just thank you so much for being here in the first place. Thanks for listening. And that's just what I wanted to hop on and ask. And so just thank you. And let's get back to the episode. Have a great day.
It really is messy, isn't it? It's messy. You get through it and you figure it out. And I love that you started it. And then I love that you both were back to back pregnant. Like that just makes the story so much better.
It was tough.
You know, every entrepreneur has their heart, like the story they tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, what would you share to somebody who's listening, who's maybe standing on the edge of big change, like you girls were back then? And I'm sure you go through it as you scale and grow your business. There's always these precipices, right, where we're on big change, but maybe they're wanting to leave their job or they're starting something new or they're rebuilding after burnout. Like they're in some space of change. So what advice would you give them to take that first step?
It resonates with me. When I got this advice when I was in residency, which was, you know, we were sitting around and it was a group of ladies kind of in their, you know, early 30s in medicine, which can be a very challenging career in terms of time and everything else. And people were talking about like, when was the right time to have a kid? Med school is not the right time and residency is not the right time. Right? You're establishing a career, that's not the right time. And one of my mentors, a professor who was, you know, she was one of our teachers and she was in her, I guess, late 40s, maybe early 60s. She just stops the conversation. She's like, ladies, there's never a good time. There's no such thing as a good time. You just do it. And I was like, that is true about so many things in life. If you're waiting for the right time for something, that's not how life is. You know, the only way to do it is to pull the trigger and go. There will never be the perfect time. It doesn't exist. So if you're thinking about doing something, don't think.
Don't think about it. There is advice from, don't think about it.
I really position advice. Don't think about it. It won't there to be a good time. But no, really, there's some truth in that. You know, if you think about it, it never makes sense. That's true of all dream.
So true. Any advice you wanted to share, Dominique, just about getting started and pulling the trigger?
There's so many things. In some ways, it's a similar story. I remember I was in a courtroom once and a particular defendant was talking about all the reasons he couldn't do the things and couldn't go to his classes and couldn't do anything. And the judge just leaned over the bench. She looks at him and she says, life happens to everyone. And you know, like what I took that to mean is it's happening right now. This isn't a reason or an excuse. You have to do it at the same time. There isn't, okay, stop this one thing and then do this other thing. No, this is just, it's the same thing for marriage or kids or, you know, you're not going to wait 10 years and then you're going to meet the perfect person.
And then it's going to be perfect. And there'll be no problems
and everything will be, it's the same thing for business. Everything's happening. Yeah. Everything's happening right now to you and to everybody else. So if you're going to do it, just start it.
Yeah, so true. Life is always happening, right? And I believe in something called the law of opposites. There's always equal greatness and equal challenges. And so it's what we choose to focus on. And, you know, I'm curious as you ladies are speaking, because I always love to, in entrepreneurship, you know, you ladies obviously have overcome a lot of adversity and hurdles to get where you are. You don't become successful like you are without that. Yet I like to always know the truth of, did you ever want to quit? You know, like you get going and you get moving. Was there ever any times that like you just said to each other, I don't know if I could do this anymore? And what did you do in those moments such that you didn't? Or I don't know, maybe you've never felt that. Maybe it was never, you never got to that space. Yet I'm curious if you did. And then what did you do such that you're still here growing your business?
I'll be honest. I have never thought that. And part of that is just, I think that's just our personalities. I think that we have been the, you know, you go after it till you get it kind of person our entire lives. But also, you know, I just speaking for myself only, you know, the only, I believe this, and this might sound strange, but this is something I truly do believe. The only thing that makes me special is I don't quit. I'm not smarter. You know, there's so many smart people out there. There's people out there that are smarter than me, that are more talented than me. Absolutely. You know, there's people that are nicer people than me. You know, there's no thing at which I excel except for the fact that I don't quit. And that, over the course of my life, what I have come to believe, which may be very self-serving, but what I have come to believe is that trait will carry you farther than talent almost always. And so I have been like, we are not where I want to be. You know, this is not what I want to be doing. There's things I want to change. But I have never thought I want to quit. I've never thought I can't do it. Never.
Yeah, I love that. And if you don't quit, you're going to get there eventually.
You're going to get somewhere.
No. Yeah. You're going to get somewhere. Exactly. Dominique, yourself?
I would say it's really just a mindset around your perspective on what's happened, right? We can be going one direction and then take a left turn. Is that quitting? No, that's, you know, something happened. We learned a lesson and now we're moving forward, right? Like, it's, to me, I had this conversation this weekend with a couple of my friends. Like, just it came up. We're talking about luck, you know, like better to be lucky than good, or, you know, all those things. And I thought, you know what? Luck is a mindset. Okay, it is not a set of circumstances. I've been lucky every day of my life. And that doesn't mean every day was good, right? And so when I think about this question, you know, what do I do? You know, do I want to quit? I'm not quitting. I might be taking a new direction.
It's all about definition.
I mean, yeah, it's a mindset around what's happening and what it means. And is there anything good that comes of it? And there's always something that comes of it.
Yeah.
So that help. I mean, that's for me. That's what it is. It's just that.
Well, you're choosing a success mindset, right? And that's why you're still here with that resilience. And I love this. And so I'm curious, because you girls have now scaled your business, right? And so if you were to give some guidance, right? So maybe some mindset guidance and some practical guidance, what would be two or three tips that you would share with women who are in a similar position where they feel like they've reached a certain space in their business and they want to scale now? And I believe that when you choose to scale, it requires a different version of you, new levels of skill, new levels of success mindset, new levels of risk. I mean, all those things, right? And so what guidance or tips would you give those who are listening when you're now going to take that next step or leap of faith, which is scaling your business?
You know, I mean, I would say for myself, the biggest thing is there has to be a lot of letting go of ego. You know, when we started our practice, I was the provider. I was in the room doing the procedures. And, you know, in the depth of my soul, I believe that no one could do it better than me, you know? And but again, there's a limit on what one person can do. And if you're going to try and scale, if you're going to try and grow, you have to find people, and your goal needs to be that those people are going to be better than you. Your job is to find people that are better than you. And in order to do that, you have to let go of the idea that you're the only special snowflake that can do the job. The truth of the matter is, if you truly understand something, you can teach it. And if you can't teach it, then you don't understand what you're doing. And that can be a very humbling thing, or it can be a very freeing thing. And it depends on kind of how you look at it. But if you believe that no one else can match your special sauce and that it can't be taught, then you have boxed yourself in. That maybe you may feel good in the short term, but in the long term, that's going to limit you.
Yeah. No, I love that. And Dominique, how about you?
Speaking specifically to women, there aren't as many women in the rooms that we find ourselves in now as men. And we can talk forever about why and, you know, but if I had advice about that, speaking specifically to women, you know, I hear a lot of women who they make the choice between, you know, motherhood and work. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the choice. Open your mind to the possibility that as hard as it will be for a few years, and it will be unbelievably hard, it is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, like I look at that as, I mean, everybody needs to make the choice that's right for them, but it's also a fool's choice because it says I can only have one or the other, I cannot have. And that does not mean it's a perfect life. There is no perfect. But just open your mind to the fact that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that because that's actually what I teach. I teach that, you know, you can be extremely successful and it doesn't have to be at the expense of your health and your relationships or, you know, always having to add more hours to the day. I mean, obviously, entrepreneurship takes hard work, yet. Right. You can't have it all. I don't like that saying that says you can't have it all. Like you absolutely can. I think that's the gift of women because we already have the nurturing side and the ability to, you know, multitask, all these things. And it's, you know, now it's like just teaching women that, hey, by the way, you deserve to be successful too.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm
then go out and do it then. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And sometimes I do feel, you know, I will hear women, even women, you know, fellow business owners or professionals. And
oh, how do you have maternity leave? You know, you also run your business. And I'm like, oh dear, you probably won't.
Yeah.
And that's a decision though. And I'm not, again, it's not for everyone, but if it's for you, there will be a payoff down the road. Like I get to spend so much more time with my kids than most people that I know that had them at the same time that stayed in a profession. We spend our summer
because we have flexibility.
Yeah.
You know, we control our schedules.
And we've kind of made that leap that Flora was talking about, you know, past that I am the only person who can do this. And we have an incredible team. And so we have more freedom now. And we never would have had that if we didn't do those hard things early.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Can you maybe share a few of what those are? Like the, you know, you girls, and by the way, congrats. Like being in the top 1%, like you girls are rock stars. Right. And like, I love that. I love seeing other women be successful and then want to turn around and help other women be successful. What are some of the behind the scenes, like efforts that it takes to become where you girls are?
I mean, I'll just, nobody's talking about maternity leave, you know, and this is a story that I think that every female entrepreneur probably has a story like this, you know. Which is when, and it happened to both of us, it's just my story, you know, but when I delivered my daughter, yeah, I lost a lot of blood because everyone loses a lot of blood, that's a thing. And I forget if it was while I was in the hospital or if it was a couple of days before I went delivered, but it was like, you know, within a week of my delivery, we had only one provider and one other injector in the practice at that time, and she quit. She was aware that I was, you know, like 9 months pregnant. Like we worked side by side. It was not, you know, it was not a surprise. And, you know, so 3 days after I delivered, I was in the injecting room and because I had lost a lot of blood, I was very lightheaded, you know? And so I was injecting, I would have one arm like on the bed so I wouldn't be weaving around so I could brace myself while I injected, you know, because that's what, you know, at that time, that was what the business needed. And so I think that, and I think every entrepreneur has stories about, oh God, everything fell apart and I needed to be in the office, you know, 45 hours a day. And it's just, this is what it was. And I had to just grind it out. And, you know, I think that everybody has those stories. And I think that you have to go in with the mindset that, yeah, that's going to happen. And there's times that are really going to suck. And then, you know, most times are not that bad, but there are times that, and you have to be ready to, when those crunch times happen, you just have to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably where the mission comes in, right? If you know why you're doing it, it's easier to lean in.
Yeah, you can't do that without a reason. Like, you're not getting out of bed 3 days after you deliver a baby. unless you believe that you're doing it for a reason.
Yeah.
Money can't get you out of bed. You know, that's not the reason. That can't be the reason.
So true. You know, and so also, like, I'm curious, you know, as we're speaking about this, is what advice would you have in alignment with what we're sharing to some aspiring female founders, right, who are coming out of the gates? And you've obviously learned so much about yourselves and business and leadership. And so for other women who are, you know, being disruptors like the two of you have been, do you have any advice for them?
Boy, any advice for them? I can, my personal experience, I spent quite a few years in business with an internal narrative that did not serve me. It came to the business world and the other people I was interacting with. You know, I always sort of showed up in a room with this assumption that everybody knew more than I did. And my opinion was not as valuable, you know, as the opinions of other people in the room. And many of those happen to be men. You know, it's not necessarily gender related, but just, you know, if we're talking about advice to women, I wish I had let go of that sooner. We're all doing the same thing. Everybody has
no one knows something valuable.
Nobody knows what they're doing. All I think, and I have seen other women now, you know, following behind, so to speak. And I see that in a lot of women. And I wish I could just shake them, you know, to say, just you need to get over that for yourself. And the faster you can let that go, the easier all of this will become.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would say, you know, don't ever expect anyone to help you. And then not because there are wonderful people out there and, you know, but if you go in with the mindset, I have to figure this out. Like, whatever the problem is, that you are on your own to figure, that will get you a lot farther. There's a lot of people who kind of sit on their, you know, rear ends and kind of, why isn't anyone helping me? Why isn't this, you know, like, why? There is no, it's you. And you have to figure it out, full stop. And if you don't have that mindset, because in business, you know, especially if you're starting your own business, there are no answers. You have to figure them out. You have to create the answers. They don't exist in the universe.
And I mean, that's about accountability.
Yeah.
The person, if you look at yourself, whoever you're putting finger at, that's who has the power. Mm-hmm. So if you're blaming someone else, you have just given them the power. They're the ones who can solve it. They're the ones who can affect it. And if you're pointing the finger back at yourself, now who has the power? I'm not saying it's easy.
Yeah.
But for, I mean, so own it.
That's a good, I've never heard that before. Whoever you're pointing at, that is really true, because now it's up to them whether or not it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do that.
Yeah, great advice, girls. It's true though, right? Take ownership. Take ownership of what you want and why you want it, and ownership of the great stuff and ownership of the stuff that isn't working out so great. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
And so speaking of ownership, I'm curious about yourselves working together as sisters. So maybe share a little bit about that with me. How's it been building a business with family and with each other? And what are some of the things you celebrate? And maybe what are some of the things that you work through together?
I mean, I think it just, for me, the thing that is most important, and I see this, I'm a member of EO, which I don't know if, you know, Entrepreneurs Organization. And so I've seen a lot of people in EO go through sort of partner issues. You know, businesses, they split up, partner wants to leave, partner wants to sell. And those, I think, are some of the most difficult issues, that if you're a solo person, you have no one to share the journey with, and that's very hard. And if you have a partner, you know, maybe they're in, maybe they're out, like that also can be very hard. And I think that one way in which we're really lucky is you can't divorce your sister, right? You know, there's a level of trust that you can have in the relationship that is very hard to get in. And it doesn't come with, do we have fights like at our location that have nothing to do with Restore? Yes, it also comes with that. But the biggest blessing for me has been that she's not going anywhere. I never have to worry about that. Okay. And a lot of my friends and colleagues do. Maybe more of me, but they do.
Yeah. Awesome. Dominique, how about yourself? What's it like working with your sister? No pressure.
So there are five siblings in the family. My daughter, I have a 13-year-old and 11-year-old, and she has 12 and a 10-year-old son. And just recently on a family trip, our children became aware that, you know, they had a bunch of uncles they had never met, and it blew their minds.
How come you never told us? Like, we told you.
How come they don't live, you know, also next door to us? Mm-hmm. How come we don't share dinners with them? How come they're not, you know, I guess even our children take this for granted. This is not, we are not two separate families.
We are we live one, two doors down from one another. Yeah. We share dinners six nights a week because
for it's so easier. Dinner, and
it's easier.
And all of this together really helps me have more people. But it just, it's so interconnected and it's foundational to everything else we do. And that's whether, you know, how we're raising our children, our families, our futures, our business. It really, it's just like such a powerful foundation, such a strong one. What we're building wouldn't be possible without this.
Oh my God. It was kind of funny. Like, I remember like Sophia was like, but they don't live next to us.
And we're like, how could that be?
We're like, not every sibling lived next to their sibling. And they're like, what?
It's all they know, your example. Yet, ladies, that's so special. That is so special. I love hearing that. You don't hear about that kind of family dynamic, unfortunately, very often anymore. That's really special that you have that you've got each other that way. So that's such a blessing. I love hearing that. And that your kids get to witness that and learn about family in that way from you too. Mm-hmm. So cool. I'm curious, what's next for each of you? So you're growing your business, you're scaling your business. What's coming down the pipeline, or what are you excited about? Or where is this going for both of you?
The next 16 location.
Yeah.
That's what's next.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we really, or 50 or, but definitely 16. Like that's on the calendar.
Yeah. Like we do really good work. Like we really do. And it should be out there in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want. That's it.
That's awesome. You're going to do it. I mean, I know, I can tell just from the conversation with you, and you're doing it. Like you're on your way there, and you guys have something special where you are making an impact and you're changing so many lives. And I'm sure, I guess that would be my last question before we start to wrap up, is what is the most rewarding part of your business for each of you?
The most rewarding part of the business for me is the team we've built and the way that they serve our patients. I never really understood the power of that team. And what, you know, great things in business are never done by one person, they're done by a team of people. And we have that team. And I am so proud.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like I would say there's, you know, on one hand, you know, as we've brought like hormone optimization into the practice, like having patients come in and start crying and say, you changed my life. That's really cool. That's really cool. And that, really super meaning for me to hear those stories coming back, you know, from my providers. That's really cool. But also that one of the best phrases I've ever heard, and this is Simon Sinek, you know, of course he comes up with all kinds of, you know, like
no way.
Most people don't buy his messages very early, you know, but he was talking about like Navy SEALs and teamwork and what is a team and how does it work. And one of his things he said is his definition was, you know, a team is a group of people that trust each other. And I was, as soon as I heard that, I was like, yes, yes. That is what makes a difference, is whether or not you can trust your team. That is, if you can't trust them, they're not actually people that work with you, but it's not a team. And we have a team now where I absolutely trust their judgment. I trust their professional. I trust them with what is essentially my baby, you know, to all intents and purposes. And that's an incredibly powerful thing that I did not think would ever happen. It never occurred to me that I would have people around me that I actually fully trust to act as I would, you know, in a crisis. It's very cool. It's very cool. You get to build a sort of auxiliary family for yourself.
That's a testament to you two ladies, though, in your leadership, because you cannot create trust if you're not being trusting, right? And extending that olive branch to your team to hold them capable and to empower them and to teach them and train them and allow them to step into their greatness. So kudos to both of you that you've created that. I hope you realize that.
You've
created that environment for yourself. So I think that's inspiring. Ladies, where can we find you? So for the people who are listening, I'm going to put all your information, your social media handles, your website, all of that stuff in the show notes. Yet where can people come and learn more about you and your services and where your locations are?
For anybody who has any interest in becoming a patient, working with us in that capacity, I really direct people to our website. It's www.restoremedicalspa.com, which is R-E-S-T-O-R, no E, because we're very fan. And then medical spa. It's no E on the And that you can find, you know, videos of me talking about procedures. You can find information on everything we do, locations, all that stuff is there. If anybody wanting to get in touch with us so professionally, I'm on LinkedIn. It's Dr. Flora Waples, which is Dr. Flora, spelled like flower, hyphen Waples, which is W-A-P as in Paul, L-E-S. And that's really the easiest place to get a hold of me. There's not too many Dr. Flora Waples out there. I'll be great. It will be obvious.
I'll just add to that. Currently, you can find us in Colorado, in Denver Metro. But if you are, for example, in Arizona or Texas, look for us coming soon.
In 3 years.
Yeah. I also can be found on LinkedIn, Dominique Waples Truffle. Waples is spelled the same way. And Truffle is T-R-E-F-I-L.
Awesome. And we'll put that in the show notes. And I'm curious, you mentioned something, Dr. Flora, that you have videos because, you know, I think one thing as somebody who could be a potential client, there's probably so many questions, right? About, especially I'm 47, mm-hmm. I'm going through hormone stuff. I got Botox once in my lifetime. And I'm like, I've got questions around that. And so is that where we go to your website for some education as well?
Absolutely. You know, also, I'm 47 too. So we are on the same age.
49. We're all in our 40s here.
Perimenopausal.
Yep. Hey, yeah.
It's a great fun ride. Yeah. Now on our website, we have a really good amount of educational materials, FAQs, videos on me just talking about, you know, sort of, you know, the things that we do. And so I think it's a great resource. Obviously, I'm biased, but I think it's a great resource, a great place to go, especially if you have questions about hormones. We've got a whole section of our website devoted to the big why questions behind it. Like, why are we aged? What's happening to us? Is it reversible? I'll give you a spoiler.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It is controllable. And that's a really important thing, I think, that people don't realize. But yeah, all that's on the website. Go to services. Just find everything from there.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have you back on the episode, FYI, because my whole age range of friends is right now, for the right reasons, obsessed around hormones and aging and perimenopause and everything we're going through. And so like, we could fill a whole episode easy just on those topics.
Well, I could talk about it for hours. Like you'll need a backup battery. There's nothing I love more than talk because the science is so misunderstood in a lot of ways. And when you really dig into it, so many things become so beautiful and so elegantly clear that it is the most beautiful medicine and the most profound medicine. And I would
And she's very passionate about it.
I don't care about it at all. And I would be honored to speak more about it because I think it's really important.
Oh my gosh, Dr. Flora, we're going to talk after because I'm serious. Like that would probably be like the number one episode. This has been a great episode too. That's the conversation that I have with people every single day because it's the age I'm at, right? And it's a very important topic. Okay, ladies, so I have a few last questions. So what would you say now? I mean, as we just discussed, 47 and 49, you've had all these chapters in your life up until now. What would you say for each of you is your definition of success today?
Gosh, my definition is it's really, I mean, for me, it is, did I give everything to it that I could? Like, and that, you know, because when I commit fully to things, that is what makes me feel good. The feeling of full commitment is something that I chase in my life because it's hard to find. You know, in order to fully commit to something, you have to give up fear. You have to give up fear of consequences. You just have to be able to just walk away from a lot of that stuff and say, I'm going to fully commit to this regardless of what the outcome is. And if you reach that mental place, I consider that a win, regardless of outcome.
Oh my God. I love your answer. That is the feeling of full commitment. Like that just gave me goosebumps because I agree with that is such a wonderful answer. I love that.
Gary as hell. It's Gary. Yeah. Most people don't ever do it. I think most people really go through their lives without ever doing that. And that is it is a shadow of a life, I think, to not ever reach that.
Yeah, full commitment. I love it. Dominique, how about you?
I would say, for me, success is the love of the game. I think entrepreneurship is so hard. And if you don't love it, you won't
kill your wife.
And you won't stick with it. But when you do, it's just... even the micro wins, even, you know, it's like you come up over a little hill, right? You see the next mountain. And I love seeing the next mountain. I love it.
Yeah.
And so there is no end goal. It's getting to do this every day.
Yeah. That to me just sounds like fulfillment. I love that too. The love of the game and full commitment. And okay, so my podcast tagline is Unleashing Greatness Within. And so what would be, let's say, one thing each that you would share if you were going to guide someone to unleash their inner greatness?
One thing.
You know, again, so many of these things sound like cliches, and you think they're cliches until you actually encounter the weight that they truly carry in your life. And you go, oh, that's what that cliche means. And it changes, you know, like I'll share a short story from my own life. Like I'm married to a man who three generations of his family are like nationally ranked long distance runners. Okay. Like Olympic level distance runners. And, you know, we've married for almost 14 years and he runs all the time. And I did not think I could run. I was overweight. My knees hurt. Couldn't do it. Every time you go running, I'd be like, yeah, I'll never fucking run. And then 2 years ago, a couple girlfriends of ours, she's like, hey, we should run this.
I was running.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, but you're running with a friend. Like,
oh, yeah.
So I want to run.
I want to run.
And then
I want to be a partner. And I was like, maybe I can. And so I started. And the first time I ran 2 miles, I wanted to die. I mean, it was awful and it was miserable. I was like, this sucks. This validates every awful thing I've thought about this sport, like ever. I hate this. And then, but then I kind of kept at it and ran a 10K and ran a 15K and ran a 30K. And now I'm training for an ultra. And none of that, you know, and what I realized is I really was limited in my mind. I thought I couldn't. And because I thought I couldn't, I didn't try. And when I did start to try, all of a sudden I was like, oh, that whole narrative I had in my head, that was bullshit. That was all wrong. And what other narratives do I have in my head that are completely wrong? It opens up your horizon so much to come back and be like, okay, these are the assumptions I have about my life. Let's test some of it, you know, because maybe actually I'm an ultra runner and I just never fucking knew it, you know? And
gosh, I love this story. That is such a great example. Congratulations, by the way, being an ultra runner. Like that is insane. And
I'm signed up for a race in August. Okay. Like any jackass with a credit card can sign up. Okay.
You're going to do it. You're going to do it. I can tell already. It's done.
I'm going to attempt. But, you know, but if you would ask me 2 years ago, I'd be like, there's no way. It's not even a possibility. So I wouldn't have tried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great example. And what would be your recommendation, Dominique?
Yeah, I would put yourself up in places where people will challenge your beliefs. And that's really the same thing we're saying here, right? It's, if you say, I'm not a runner, then you're not a runner. Right? And there's so many things people say about themselves. Like, I'm just thinking, I had a meeting with a group of entrepreneurs last week, and people will just say things as if they are totally 100% true. I don't know anything about marketing. I can't, you know, manage a team. I don't know. I'm not a rule follower. Therefore, I'm not going to follow this procedure, this process for things, even though I keep complaining about how I don't have a process and procedure for things, right? There's all these things we say to ourselves. Maybe it's, I'm not a great parent. I mean, I don't know how to do this because my parents did it this way and now I don't know how to do it, right? I mean, it does take hard work to let go of some of those things. And to Flora's point, most of the time, we don't even know what they are until somebody else says, hey, you know, I just want to check in with you on that.
Yeah.
Run 2 miles.
You can't put sense there. Maybe you should just try.
It's so true though, right? Change your belief, change your story, change your life, right? Like we're the ones in the way of the narrative of what's possible for ourselves. So I really love that. Okay, last question, ladies. If you were to give a call to action based on our message today around entrepreneurship and attaching it to a mission and just doing it, what would be one thing you would recommend for the listeners to implement this week? Like, once again, it's get off the call and implement. So what would be one call to action that you would share?
Gosh, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? If you want to start an interior design business, I'm just making this up, right? I challenge you to get on ChatGPT and Really, and just say, hey, given what you know about me, ChatGPT, what are the first 10 steps I should take to consider opening an interior design business in this city? And then whatever it, pick one and do it. Just pick one. I mean, that's where it starts.
Just start. Just start. Anything you do from the beginning will be an improvement. Who knows? If you're doing nothing, anything you do is a step in the right direction. So just start walking. Yeah, I mean, that's the only way.
Oh my gosh, I love it. You ladies are amazing. I love it. I love that you're sisters and you have this bond and you're creating this amazing, empowering, uplifting message, mission, business. You are impacting lives. And it started because you decided just to start and take a step. And now it's going to be reaching 50. Did you say 50? You said 14 and then I think you went to 50.
We have four, and so 16, we're totally committed. 20 is happening. That's
not a key. 20 is happening. Okay.
Where does it go from there? Where does it go?
Nice. 20 is happening. I know it. I see 20 happening. And just thank you for just being you and for changing lives and for taking time to be on the podcast today. I love talking to people who just took a risk and stuck with it, and it's paid off, and you're making a difference. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for the invite. We have really enjoyed this today.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. I loved having those two sisters on, Dr. Flora and Dominique Waples. What a treat. I just love talking to women who had the courage to take a risk, right? And start a business with a mission in their heart. And look at what it's turned into for them. And you can just tell they're so passionate and genuine about who they are and what they're doing and how they're making an impact, and just lots of nuggets throughout that episode. For those of you who are listening, and if you're starting a business or you're growing your business or you're scaling a business, right? Check in with yourself. Why? Why are you doing it? And you really want to have a strong why and a reason for it so that you stick with it, right? Through the adversity and through the hardships, and you get to the other side. And I'm really excited to have Dr. Flora back on and pick her brain and talk to her around what her expertise is, which is all around the medical side of hormones and aging, skincare. And so we're gonna have her back on. So stay tuned for that episode as well. Yet I just wanna say thank you to both the sisters. I love and adore their relationship, appreciate their time. And I hope all of you got value who listened, and just go do it, right? Like they shared, just go take a step today towards your business. So thanks for listening. With love, greatness, and success, it's your host, Kelly Beveridge.